Good Wednesday evening, Nashville, Tennessee. This is Smashville Live. Let me hear you, Nashville Predators fans. Thank you. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name is Braden Gall alongside Hal Gill, Kyle Turris, and Cody McLeod, our guests here on the program this evening. You guys out there in Smashville will have an opportunity to talk to these two fine gentlemen in segment number three. So in just a few minutes, have your questions ready to go. But first, folks, good to see you guys. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
good to be here.
So I'll get this out of the way right away because I know it's what everybody's talking about. It's what all the fans are talking about. It's certainly what I've heard on social media and, of course, after the game last night and on the radio all day today. And that is, of course, what took place last night with the hit against Ryan Johansson. I'm not going to ask you guys to talk about officiating. That's not allowed. I'm not going to ask you about Ryan Johansson. That's also not allowed. But what I would like to know from a human element standpoint is how do you handle those types of emotional moments when you know somebody's been hit like that and you can tell that there's something going on? How do you manage the conversations within the team when you see something like that and you don't have tape to study and kind of slow things down and look at?
Yeah, I think on the hit, I don't know. It was I don't know if he did come up high or not, but it's a physical game out there, lots of emotion, and there was no penalty on the call. But I thought the guys handled it well, and like I said, I'm not sure if it was a penalty or not, but you never want to see a teammate go down, and I think the intensity really picked up after it, and we came out with a win, so it's the most important thing.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating when that happens because it looks like a high hit, and that's kind of what the league's trying to get rid of. And, but we talked about it in the room that, you know, everybody's got to step up and kind of take take on a little extra and energy-wise and in their role to help fill the void of Joey for the last period there, and pulled out the win with a nice goal from Kev.
Yeah, I'll just add on. I think, and I'm sure Cody is thinking the same thing, is when something like that, you have your skilled player that takes a hit like that, you kind of, you know, the wires cross a little bit. I'm sure in Cody's you probably wires cross a lot more than mine ever would or Kyle's ever would. But, yeah, you're offended that someone would hit your teammate like that. Whether it was clean or not, it becomes right. You get fired up and you want to go out and ultimately you want to win, but you also want to take care of your teammate. And I think that's the hard part is, you know, Cody's going out. If he's going out there, he wants to get that guy back, but he doesn't want to cost his team a penalty. And I think the NHL has gone where, I don't know, you guys can speak on this. Any hit, it seems like someone's jumping in. It doesn't need to be a bad hit or a clean hit. It doesn't really matter. It's any hit and someone is jumping in, any big hit. Do you notice that more often now?
Yeah, I find it's so rare to have such a big hit anymore because guys are kind of more worried about where they hit you. So they're just kind of letting hits go in terms of, you know, you could line a guy up on the wall, but instead of running through him, you're just kind of giving him a little cross check on the lower back just to play it safe instead of kind of older school where you just run through the guy.
Yeah.
So the amount of big hits I feel like has declined. So when you do see a big hit, it's kind of sets off alarm bells for everybody saying you got to go up to the guy and say something because it doesn't happen very often and you don't like to see it happen to your team.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody knows that series last year against Anaheim, how crazy that was. And I guess you can say that in the playoffs, different rules maybe apply because there was so much stuff going on after whistles, guys getting hit in the head, punched in the head, and that was an absolute war, that series. But and in the regular season, maybe they clamp down a bit more, but you still look at teams like LA and Anaheim, big physical teams, and I guess at the end of the day, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, but I think as playoffs come and the intensity keeps getting higher, and you're still going to see those big hits, and guys have to answer the bell, I think.
Can I just ask, do you like the way the game is going? Kyle, do you feel safer out there? Do you feel more? I think the skill level has gone up since I retired. The skill level has gone up, and guys can make more plays. Don't laugh at me. I never had skill to begin with, but other players have skill, and now they're able to make more plays without the slashing, without the hits to the head, those kind of things. Do you like the way the game is going? Do you think it's a cleaner game now?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a cleaner game, but I also feel like it takes kind of some of the competition out of the game. I mean, take, for example, just the little face-off things, right? It kind of takes the element of the game within the game. I mean, for me going into a face-off against the other team's centerman, it's, am I going to tie him up and kick it back? Am I going to hit his stick first? I mean, that was kind of the old, like, what's he going to do and how am I going to counter it? And now they're not letting you play those games within the games because you have to be square and you have to have your stick in the one spot. Nobody's allowed to be moving. So, I mean, it goes the same with little slashes on the hands. And, I mean, everybody did it. So it's just, yeah, the game's definitely changing and getting faster with less less game. Yeah,
compete,
less,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting. I think one of the things I hear consistently from the fans, from the coaches, from the players is just from the NHL, we want to see consistency. And I think as long as they're working towards that, that's probably the best way for everybody. It's probably what's best for everybody, coaches, players, fans as well. So let's get to what takes place after that. Obviously, a very scary moment for everybody. And you mentioned, Kyle, the intensity sort of ratcheted up a little bit. And in the third period, last night, that I'll give the fans a lot of credit for showing up last night, a lot of bad weather, and a lot of people showed up to that game. And that third period intensity level was, it. You know, you come away from certain regular season games, you go, man, that kind of felt like a playoff game. And, Cody, you were talking about that yesterday, that evening, that third period, that felt different than a regular season game.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, that third period, you guys were rocking, the building was rocking. Kind of reminded me of last year in the playoffs. You guys were chanting and getting those chants going. It was awesome. It was fast-paced and lots of intensity, and main thing, we came out with a win. So,
yeah, no, it was a real tight game. Definitely had the feel of a bit of a playoff game. They're a good team, and I mean, a 1-0 game is pretty tight.
Well, let's ask about UC Saros then, because he gets the start, and I think a lot of fans didn't expect to see that, but there's some sense there where he gets a lot of reps in Milwaukee, gets a lot of routine and comes back in, and Lavi throws him in there, and just absolutely brilliant. I thought the defense played very well as well, not allowing a lot of high leverage chances, but what makes UC Saros so good? You know, not the 6'4", 250-pounder kind of guy. What makes him so good right now, so young?
I would just say his work ethic. That guy's always first one on the ice, last one off, and he competes in practice like nobody has ever. For a goalie, I've seen. Pax, he works hard, but Juice, he's always out there, and he came in. He stole the show last night for sure.
Yeah, he works extremely hard, and so does Pax. But since coming here, I've been amazed at how fast Juice is. Like he's. His reaction speed and how fast he slides across on pucks, and like he'll come down on 2-on-0 and he'll move it to the other guy, thinking he has an open net, and Juice will be right there following it the whole time. So you have nothing to shoot at. He's unbelievably quick, and I could pair that with his work ethic. He's a really good goalie.
Now, so he went to Milwaukee, played 3 games, so he wasn't rusty at all. You guys go away. Well, first I want to ask you what you did, if you did anything good. Or and then also I want to, you know, what's it like to get back, coming back after a 5-day break and have the best team in the West to play against?
Yeah, it's, you got to get back up to speed real quick. I mean, I think for the most part, guys kind of did little things here and there to stay in shape over the break. But I just stayed here. We just moved here. So trying to unpack boxes and get furniture in the house and get the kids set up in schools and that was our break, so we didn't do much of anything.
And you thought you were getting away from the snow in Ottawa, and you come here.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I think it was 1 inch of snow here. So it's,
shut it down.
That's nothing. But, no, it was a great breather to kind of help get a little bit more settled and more comfortable and get to know the area. But
I went to, I took my family to Disney World. Gil's, you ever been there?
No.
Man, what a time.
I won't do it.
That was so
I
good.
I won't do it.
No?
Just anti-Disney.
In line
just,
I don't know if I can stay in line. I can't do lines.
Holy, did I walk miles there. Holy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was good. It was a lot of fun. Re-energized, and it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I want to ask you quickly, guys, by the way, Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Hal Gill, Kyle Turris, Cody McLeod, and Braden Gall. And I want to ask you, Austin Watson, that play last night behind UC where he gets the stick on it, and then he throws the blade of the skate on it, too. I'm like, every night you seem to look up and you look at the tape, and he's doing something like that. I mean, I don't know how you explain that play. It's just a great play, but every night Austin Watson seems to be doing something like that.
Yeah, he's been great. He's a warrior. He blocks shots all the time. Unreal on the penalty kill. Just reads, getting in shooting lanes, and physical. Brings that energy every night. He's been awesome for sure.
Yeah, he's great at what he does. The shorthanded, he's awesome. I mean, some of the shots he blocks are incredible. I don't know how he gets up from them. And just the smart heads-up play he makes, and the energy, and how he supports his teammates. He's a great player for this team.
Well, we got a lot more hockey to discuss. Smashville, of course. Kevin Fiala with the game winner last night, of course, on the backside. And we'll continue to discuss that a little bit later on in the program. We'll also have opportunities for all you guys to ask these guys some questions as well coming up in a few minutes. But we'll have a little fun, loosen it up a little bit. And when we come back next segment, we'll do some more personal stuff. And maybe you guys can give Nashville some advice, actually. We're going to do that when we come back. So Hal Gill, Kyle Turris, Cody McLeod, Braden Gall. This is Smashville Live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Smashville Live here at Tin Roof on Broadway. Braden Gall, Hal Gill, Kyle Turris, Cody McLeod, and of course Smashville, as usual, in attendance here.
Really
as well.
Really good-looking crowd.
Nice. Of course they are.
Always.
They're Nashville Predators fans.
Yeah.
All right, guys. First and foremost, you guys are both from Canada, and when it snows down here, can you guys please help the lovely people of this city and tell them how to commute in a little bit of snow, please?
First, get a pickup truck if you don't have one. Just kidding. I don't know. I'm from minus 40 below weather, so this is nothing right now.
Wait, I was in Nashville for 2 years, and I moved away, came back, and I think I figured it out. When there's snow on the roads, you just put your blinkers on and go 2 miles an hour, right? Isn't that how it works? Isn't that how they do it in Canada? Like, what? Can someone answer, why do you do the blinkers?
And they don't have microphones.
Hazards. The hazards, and then just slow drive.
It's still better than in a ditch, though, man. Like,
I know. That's true.
I can't believe how they shut schools down
here. For being cold. For being cold.
So,
wow. I wish I was a kid here.
The average January temperature, look this up, Cody. The average January temperature in your hometown, which is Binscarth, Canada, am I saying that correct?
Yeah.
It's just north of Bismarck for those of you in Nashville. The average January low temperature is negative 11 degrees in January. So I don't think people here fully grasp how cold it really is.
And that's not with the wind chill either.
Exactly.
Once the wind chill pops in there.
And Kyle, you know, it's a little bit warmer in the Vancouver area where you're from, but ease on the pedal, ease on the gas, ease on the brake. Be gentle, take it slow. Give some space in between. It's not that complicated. But you're right, the schools, they close down awfully easily down here.
Yeah, tomorrow, I think, is canceled, too. What I
think. No, it's
really
not.
Are the kids upset
no,
about
I can't
that?
Take
third
that
day
again.
In a row.
I can't take that.
I know. Crazy.
Kyle, let me ask you. You're from an area just outside of sort of a suburb of Vancouver.
Yeah.
That's an accurate description. And your father was, if the people down here don't know, your father was a big lacrosse player in the Hall of Fame up there.
Yep.
And the question is, would he have been more proud of you had you ended up playing lacrosse instead of playing in the NHL?
I don't know. I actually came to a point where I played lacrosse and hockey until I was about 15 years old, and then had to make the decision which one to go with. And I remember being nervous telling him that I just wanted to go with hockey instead of lacrosse. And he was supportive, and thankfully I did, because it turned out all right.
The Canadian Lacrosse Hall of Fame, by the way, in your hometown.
Yeah. Yep.
So, big deal there. And I think what's interesting about your path sort of coming to the NHL is your decision, and kind of take the fans through that process, your decision to choose what levels, how that works. Maybe explain that to Nashville Predators fans out there.
So, it's kind of, there's minor hockey as you grow up, and then there's kind of a decision you have to make when you get to be 15, 16, 17 years old, and there's major junior across Canada. There's three different major junior leagues, depending on where you live in Canada. And there you can go that way, or you can go kind of the scholarship route in the States. And if you play major junior, NCAA kind of classifies that as pro, so you can't get a scholarship.
Is it one game now?
One game.
Just one game, and so you're make that decision, you're done for college.
Play the one game, you can't go to college in the States on a scholarship. You have to be pretty sure in what you want to do at a pretty young age. So, I mean, thankfully I had a good support group with my parents and knowledgeable people around me to help out. And I ended up choosing to go to school in the NCAA in the States, and I'm thankful I did. I had a great experience, met my wife, and we're, yeah.
You're not going to talk about that school? You're not going to say it by name?
I went to the University of Wisconsin, Madison. So.
As someone born and raised in Madison, Wisconsin, I'm very proud of that. So. And Nashville's had a pretty good run. I mean, Blake Jeffreon, of course, and Craig Smith, and that other guy who plays in the division as well, played there for a year. We'll leave him off the we'll remain nameless there.
So what age do you have to make that decision? Do you or did you?
So so there's Bantam is kind of the level of minor hockey that you get drafted in. So this is where it gets a bit confused. So in the Western Hockey League is the western side of Canada for major junior. And in the Western Hockey League, it's 14 years old is the draft into major junior. And then usually you play your 15-year-old year either midget or junior B. And then when you're 16 is usually the first year you play in the major junior. So when you're grade 11, basically, 16 years old, you have to have made that decision whether you want to try and pursue an NCAA scholarship or play major junior. And I mean, obviously, you can if you're not going to make the major junior team when you're 16, then you have another year or two when you're 17 or 18 until you have to decide which route you want to go.
What do you think of the kids are doing now? Like, you know, this is, you know, 10, 12 years ago you were doing this. Have you noticed the change in kids making decisions? Are they thinking college or are they thinking I'm going to make it and I'm going straight through?
It's funny. So when I was coming up, there was really no knowledge in Canada of the NCAA.
Yeah, that's why I ask.
And, like, none. And I think out of all my buddies I grew up with, I was the only one who went to college at the time. And then there started to be a shift kind of in the 3 or 4 years after when I went to Wisconsin. More and more kids started to think about NCAA. And then, actually, the hockey... I don't know if it was Hockey Canada that implemented the rule or one of the governing bodies in Canada, hockey, actually implemented this rule that you're not allowed to play Junior B or Tier 2 Junior A, which is kind of the step below Major Junior, until you're only allowed one 16-year-old and two 17-year-olds, unless you play Major Junior. So it basically... forces the kids to major junior, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's basically if the kid's good enough to play major junior instead of having to play another year of minor hockey and midgets or kind of a spot where he's not going to develop as well, it's kind of the decision is to go to major junior instead of waiting and not being able to develop as fast to go to college. So it's really kind of forcing kids to major junior more now. But it's kind of
it's a really big life decision at a very young age.
And Cody, I'm sure when you were growing up, there was you're not thinking college.
No, I couldn't wait to get out of the house.
Yeah, I mean you're
like 16 years old.
You wanted to go and play junior?
yeah. I left when I was 16. Like Tur was saying, you get drafted. I think I got drafted when I was 14. And then I went all the way to the West Coast to Portland. That's pretty much the farthest team away from home, so it was a huge culture shock because I'm from a town of 500 people, 500, and then I went to Portland, Oregon, where it's a huge city. So then you start going to school there, and it was missed home for about the first month or two, and then your teammates are pretty much your family. You're always hanging out with them, so it was a lot of fun after that. But
let's go back, guys. Kyle Turris, Cody McLeod here, joining us here on Smashville Live at Tin Roof on Broadway. Let's go back to sort of the emotional moment when you first get to an NHL rink. And I love hearing the stories about professional athletes and sort of the work you put in to get to that point. You talk about leaving home at a young age and the decisions, Kyle, you had to make to get there as well. You both debuted relatively close, I think, right? In December of 07 for you, Cody, and then a couple of months later for you, Kyle. Just take us through the emotions of that night. Like, what do you remember feeling when you stepped on an NHL rink for the first time, you know, in a real game?
Yeah, actually, I was playing in the American League. I'll just, quick story. We're playing in Winnipeg, so kind of my hometown. We're playing the Manitoba Moose. I was playing in the American Hockey League, and right after that game, I got called up. It was pretty cool because I had so many family and friends watching that game, and I was talking to them, and then our coach for the American League team came out and told me I was going up, so that was pretty cool. And then, so I joined the Colorado Avalanche in they're on the road swing out west in L.A., and I didn't play the first game. I got called up, and then my first NHL game was against Anaheim, and it was pretty cool. Joe Sakic was playing, Forsberg, and I think I was just shaking in my stall there. So it was pretty neat, and just once you get the taste of playing in the NHL, you never want to go back. And one game turned into 10, 10 into 100, and here we are today. So
yeah, no, it was a surreal kind of moment. I was in college, I got the phone call saying, hey, we want you to leave and come play the last three games of the year for us, just to kind of get the experience under my belt, train for the summer and come back for camp next year ready to go. It was unbelievable. My first game was in Phoenix against Dallas, and facing off against Mike Modano. It was pretty neat.
Well, I want to add my story, because you guys are saying like this is neat and everything. I went on with the Bruins. I went on the West Coast swing. Just hanging out, eating with the boys. I thought it was sick. I was just out of school. I thought it was the best thing ever. I finally got into a game. I had like two shifts. I almost had a heart attack both times I was out there. Hearts pounding through my chest. And then right after, they sent me down. I had the rookie dinner. Then they sent me down after. And I was like, this is the worst. I can't believe I panicked. And luckily, I got another chance to come up. And I felt comfortable after that. But, it's funny. Every player you talk to, and when you talk about their emotions, it's different for everyone. But I want to get into your first, because I see you guys as similar in the fact that you both came to Smashville and immediately the impact was felt. Cody, last year you came in and the team just kicked into high gear. You were exactly what the team needed. And, we talk about how great David Poile is getting the right pieces. You were the exactly right piece for this team moving forward. And then Kyle, you came in this year, and I think it was exactly the right piece again, and everything just fell into place, and you went on this great run. So what was your first experience like here in Nashville?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was kind of funny, because I got traded from Colorado to Nashville, and I didn't even have to join the team, like fly to Nashville. Nashville was playing Colorado, so David told me to stay at home and then pack for Nashville and join the team that morning, because it was a morning game, and got to play my old teammates Colorado, and we beat them 3-2 and went on that road swing. And I don't even know if we lost the game. We cleaned up on the road and we got rolling right into the playoffs, and it was awesome. It was a lot of fun, and carried it on to this year. So
Astro McGinley, what happened in that game, Kyle? what about you?
You just wait. He just missed the Gordie Howe, right?
Yeah, missed
you need,
that, yeah.
You needed an apple, right?
Yeah.
Oh, right there.
They should have just gave me one.
I think so.
On the statue, just
throw a phantom assist in there, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Just a great group of guys. Made me feel comfortable right away. Just everybody, the training staff, the coaches, really good group, lots of energy, lots of fun, but also knowing that we have a job to do. Right away I was excited and thankful for the opportunity.
Well, the Predators, of course, sitting just a point behind the Jets, and obviously this season off to a good start. We've got a big second half to go. So if you guys don't mind, here at Tin Roof on Broadway, Smashville fans, we'll let you guys ask a few questions of these two guys when we come back. If you guys don't mind, is that okay with you guys? Is that all right? Hal Gill, Cody McLeod, Kyle Turris, Braden Gall. We'll be right back here on Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on Tin Roof, at Tin Roof on Broadway. My name is Braden Gall, Hal Gill, Cody McLeod, and Kyle Turris here hanging out. It's the time of the program on a Wednesday evening where we will allow you guys out there, Smashville, to ask a couple of questions to you guys. Is that okay with you guys, Cody and Kyle?
100%.
All right, we'll go to Chaz from promotions in the crowd with the microphone. Chaz, don't talk. Let them talk, okay?
Don't spoil the fun. All right, we got Olivia here. She's from Green Hills, and she has a question specifically for Cody McLeod.
Okay. What's your most iconic fight that you've been in, or your most favorite fight?
Most favorite. none really stick out too much. I guess as long as I'm not bleeding or teeth missing or something like that. So I don't know. I don't really have a favorite one. I just go in there and fired up, start swinging, don't get hurt.
Chaz for promotions. What else you got, man?
All right. Got a long-standing Smashville Live and every other player show we've ever done. This is
Grace from Mount Juliet.
And what's your question?
If you could choose another profession or you couldn't play hockey, what would it be?
I got to think about this one. You go first, Turk.
I'd probably play lacrosse or try to play lacrosse.
At Wisconsin, what was your? Did you have a major? You just.
I was only there a year, so we just basically took courses to fill requirements, and then kind of declared in your second year.
Right. So nothing there.
No. Long ways
to
graduate.
Probably golf. I know that's hard. It's really hard, but. You got nobody else to blame, and you can snap whenever you want, and you can only get mad at yourself. I think it'd be awesome, and I love to golf.
The question is, did you golf at Disney at all?
No, I was chasing kids, walking miles.
Jazz, what else you got out there, man?
All right, he doesn't look like it. This guy is a veteran here at this show. This is Hayden. He's 10. He's from Madison. He's got a question for both of you.
How did it feel to be traded and then score a goal in your first game?
It's a good one.
Yeah, I think the best thing about when I got traded was to play my old team and score against them and to beat them. So that day couldn't have went any better. We were down 2-0, and then we came back to win the game, and it was awesome. That game could have not went any better in my life, so it was great.
Yeah, it was a great feeling. You always, when you get traded or when you join a new team, you want to try and help out immediately. And just scoring a goal helps take pressure away and kind of makes you feel good, makes you feel like you're helping out.
Kyle, am I allowed to ask a question?
Of course.
So you played a different, if you don't, those who don't know, Ottawa has like a completely different system, very sit back and, I don't want to knock on it, but it's more of a defensive structure.
Yeah.
Did you just love coming here and be able to run and gun and play a little bit more, or is that? Am I putting those words in your mouth?
It was definitely a different system, and I kind of caught myself at times being so F3 in the offensive zone, just backing up too much and kind of not helping out our first two forwards who were applying pressure, which kind of screwed up the whole system altogether. So it took a couple of games of me adjusting to get used to that. And it's, yeah, anytime you can feel like you open it up offensively, it's exciting.
PK Subban scored in his first game as well after being traded.
I think a lot of guys have done that.
Yeah,
huh?
Come play for Smashville. Chaz, what else you got, man?
All right, we got Robert here. He's from Madison as well. But if I'm not mistaken, you actually work in Smashville, don't you?
I do, yeah, in the box office.
That's awesome. We got one of their own. All right, what's your question, brother?
Cody, you work there in the box, right?
Oh, yeah. So everyone asks you about hockey all the time. I just wanted to ask, when you heard you were coming to Nashville, what was the thing about the city itself that excited you? Anyhow, you can answer it, too.
Watching the playoffs last year, we have, like, the Ottawa loss. We lost in Game 7 to Pittsburgh, so we had just got knocked out. And watching the Stanley Cup Finals, I don't think there's anybody who watched on TV that didn't want to be a part of Nashville and seeing the atmosphere outside the rink and during the games. And it was so contagious and something that excited everybody that you just wanted to be a part of it. So having that opportunity to come here and be a part of that was real neat.
And Cody, when you get the call and you get traded and you're here, it's like there's no way in your wildest dreams that type of thing, 50,000 people out on the streets of Broadway, is something you envision in your mind when you get that call, right? I mean,
no, when you're playing for a different team and you came to Nashville, it was always a loud building, but as the rest of the season went on and the playoffs went on, you guys cranked it up 10 notches. It was unreal. I remember Lavi be yelling at us on the bench, and you wouldn't even know who was up because you guys were screaming all game. It was awesome. It was going out for warm-ups. Warm-ups are packed, and it was so much fun.
Do you guys notice – we'll get back to you guys in just a second. Do you guys notice that the TV timeout applause thing started about 8-9 years ago, and after you guys out there in Smashville sort of saved the team from leaving? Everybody knows the story, but do you guys notice that, feed off that, feel that when the crowd during a TV timeout is just roaring and you can't hear your coach?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's crazy. It's an unreal feeling, and I made so many friends last year from back home that were coming down just to join the party and stuff like that. It was, as you know what I mean, buying tickets all the time and stuff like that. So it was they had a blast. It was unreal time, and we'll do it again this year.
Chaz, we got one more.
Well, I want to add, because he said I could answer that question.
He did say that.
I didn't have the crazy playoff atmosphere. I mean, and obviously, Smashville has been great all along. But when I got traded here, I lived downtown and I was staying at a hotel for 2 weeks, and I was on Broadway every day. I was like, how do you? I went for a walk, and I was like, all right, I'll listen to one song, have a beer, you know. I'll stop in another place and. Eventually, I had moved out to Midtown because I couldn't take it anymore.
Broadway is undefeated.
Yeah.
It's never lost.
It's just an unreal city. So every guy, you know, well, back when I played anyway, every guy talked about how great it was to come to Nashville because it's just a relaxed, laid-back feel where you can just stop in and listen to some music, which is a nice break, I think, for the NHL to come on the road and just be able to relax somewhere and just take it in. And so I did a little too much of that when I first got traded here.
A good place to do that, of course, Tin Roof on Broadway. Chaz, last one here for us, man.
All right, last but certainly not least, we got David here from Nashville. He's actually got a really interesting question for the guys.
If you guys were growing up in this day and age, which player's jersey would be number one on your wish list?
Careful.
My favorite player, who I always thought was just unbelievable in every aspect, actually left. I think last year was the first year he wasn't here, so I don't know if this counts. But Pavel Datsyuk was just a magician in every way. Like he looked like he was probably like 5'10", and he was as strong as an ox. Like guys were going. I remember playing in Phoenix. He kind of picked the puck off Shane Doan one time. Shane Doan's a big guy. And Shane Doan chased him down the ice and tried lining him up. And Datsyuk just kind of dropped his shoulder into him, and Doaner fell down. It was like, he's so strong. He's got the best hands. The moves he comes up with and his creativity was so neat to watch. And he was by far my favorite.
I still don't know what he did on that shootout goal. Right, like
which
right?
one?
Like the where he pulls it backhand. Like he defied physics, I think.
Unbelievable. He was special.
Favorite jersey. What was the question? Sorry. What jersey would I want? I gotta go old Boston Bruin, Cam Neely.
Oh, nice.
I love that guy. What a player.
Seabass.
Tough. Yeah, Seabass.
I'll just take a Hartford Whalers jersey. That way I don't get any trouble.
Yeah, go with the whale.
No matter what happens. Yeah. As long as I can hear the music there and the Brass Bonanza play, I'm good. All right, guys. Smashville Live, always a pleasure having you guys be a part of the show. We really appreciate that. When we come back, we'll get back to looking at the next couple of weeks of the schedule here. We got the Arizona game coming up, Florida as well. And we'll get to know these guys a little bit better as well. Cody McLeod, Kyle Turris, Hal Gill, Braden Gall. This is Smashville Live from Tin Roof on Broadway, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on a Wednesday evening, live from Tin Roof on Broadway. You never know who's going to show up at Smashville Live. This is Nashville. You never know what artists may show up and play a song with your favorite artist. And is that Terry Crisp over there that I see?
What a legend.
The hair on that guy is spectacular. Look at that guy. Kyle Turris and Cody McLeod here hanging out.
My heart beats a little faster every time Crispy gives a thumbs up, you know? It's just like...
I would skate through a brick wall for you, and I can't even skate, Crispy.
I know it. I would love to have you yell at me for a full game.
Oh, yeah. Like it.
Cody, you got my back, he said.
He knows what's going on. Yeah. Like, he knows who to hang out with.
He's smart.
All right, guys. Well, before we get to the schedule coming up and obviously a big game coming up tomorrow night against Arizona, I'm going to be very, very selfish and ask you a very selfish question for just me and any other soon-to-be parent in Nashville, Tennessee. You guys both have kids. Hal, you've got kids as well, so I'm really interested and fascinated. My wife is due in April with our second. They're going to be very close. I know you guys both have kids that are relatively close in age. Give Nashville's parents out there some advice on how to handle two kids within that short window that you guys have in family life.
Kids don't hear the word no enough.
I like that.
That's what my wife always says. No, I'm just kidding. I got two girls, so I spoil them rotten. But I do say no lots. There
all
you
right,
go.
All right.
Yeah, it's crazy at our house. We had three kids under three for about 2 weeks. So it was mayhem and lots of fun, but definitely crazy.
I have three kids, and I have a 13-year-old girl, so.
No, say no.
Yeah. You're speechless.
Lots of no's, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't, you know, three kids is a lot, isn't it?
It is.
Kyle,
it is a lot.
You go into the zone defense, and you try to figure it out, but it's tough.
Well, like I said, totally selfish of me there, guys. I just wanted to ask that as I'm learning about this stuff. You guys are seasoned veterans and experts at this stuff, so. Let's get to Arizona tomorrow, and obviously not the outcome you guys wanted when you went out there on the road. What sort of, you know, obviously there'll be a game plan where the coaching staff looks at tape and says, hey, this is what they did well, and we need to change the schematics of it. But individually as players, how do you guys handle a rematch where you know you didn't play your best game and they maybe got the better of you? How do you guys approach that type of game, regardless of where they're at in the standings?
Yeah, just because they're at the bottom of the standings doesn't mean that they're not a bad team. Like they played well last time we played them, but I think right from the drop of the puck, we got to come out strong and kind of set the tone, set the pace, and it's always big to get that first goal and just kind of get the first one, get the second one, and get rolling from there.
Yeah, any team in this league can beat anybody on any given night, so you got to make sure you bring your best game and I mean, we love playing at home, so taking advantage of home ice and jumping on teams early and kind of carrying that throughout the game.
How hard is it to focus? I mean, you guys are your pros. Your job is to take it one game at a time, and obviously coaches preach that. How hard is it do you guys acknowledge the schedule? You look at it and you go, man, we're getting 7 out of 8 at home or 8 out of 9 at home. Is that something that you guys actually go through and talk about, or is it just strictly, hey, this is the next opponent. We can't worry about anything else?
I think you just look at game at a time instead of – it's good to set goals, obviously, to win your division, win the conference, stuff like that. But when you're in the grind of it, it's one game at a time, and make sure you come out of there with 2 points and carry on to the next one after that.
Well, I would say this is – you guys – what do we have, four more games before the All-Star break, right? So would that be a chunk that you're looking at, like, this, all right, get through this, and you know, obviously you look one game at a time, obviously, but is that something that, you know, you set, as I always found, like, I guess the schedule is different. Maybe the 5-day break, the bye week, gives you a little more time, but I always found, like, there was that February time that was dead time. Going through the rest of the season, I feel like you guys, the Central Division especially, is so jammed tight. If you take a couple days break, you might be out of the playoff picture. You have to be focused all the time. Do you feel that pressure more? You know, you guys have played a lot of hockey. as the years go on, do you feel more pressure at this time of year where the playoff hunt comes earlier and earlier?
Yeah, it's what's that old saying? You can't make the playoffs in October or November, but you can you can miss them.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to make sure you're winning games and make sure you're at least staying in the hunt, because I mean, if you find yourself, you know, 5-10 points out come Christmas time or All-Star break, it's really difficult to make those points up. So I mean, especially like you said, in this division, it's very difficult. So trying to you know, come every night and focus on, like Max said, each game and just worry about that game to take advantage of that night and get two more points to add to your total. It's important.
I find it really interesting, sort of the rhythm of the schedule, and you guys talked a lot during that stretch there where you were playing every other night for a long period of time, and that's good to sort of find that rhythm. But then you also want the break too. So how do you balance? Like, is there a perfect number of every other nighters where you guys go, man, that's a perfect amount of time where we're playing in rhythm? I mean, how do you sort of find that rhythm when you got these stops and starts now in a schedule chunk where there's some breaks?
I feel like it's kind of mixed. Like, I personally don't really like the break as much. I mean, it's awesome for like spending time with my wife and kids and whatnot. But I'm somebody who's very routine, and I love getting into a rhythm of playing every other day and just kind of going with it. And I feel like that way you get into the rhythm of practice, and then the next day it's your routine for morning skate, and it's back to practice the next day. You know, it's just flows. And you know, you have the 3-day Christmas break, and then a week and a half later you have a 5-day bye week, and then 2 weeks after that you have a 3-day All-Star break. I feel like it's just difficult to get into that rhythm for those kind of 2-month span. But I mean, this year it almost worked in my favor in terms of gives us time to get settled and to the new house and get the kids in school and whatnot. But usually I'm kind of more routine, and I like just playing games every other night.
Yeah, I think just and for the standings wise too, playing every other night, you get on a roll, start winning a few, and you start climbing up the standings and stuff like that. And kind of going back to what you were saying, Gilsey, was when it's so tight, we those 3-point games with shootout losses and stuff like that, everybody's always in the hunt. So I guess kind of going back to that is, you want to make sure that you're always getting the 2 points and stuff like that, because even when you go to – you get a loss in overtime, teams are still climbing. So,
yeah. It was interesting. Pekka Rinne was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, just sort of every single night trying to find something new to really focus on and motivate you. And, it, you know, like, you know, how you're talking about the part of the schedule that's the toughest, where sort of the doldrums of the schedule where you're not –
My wife calls it the retirement phase. Like, this is it. I'm done. I can't do it again.
the three-quarter
mark. That's me, not these guys. Yeah, they would never say that.
Pekka mentioned that. He said, you know what, we can, like you said, Mackie, you said, well, hey, we can focus on the division, we can focus on a banner, we can focus on points or the President's Trophy or whatever. Every given night, he finds something different to sort of push him and drive him, and that's really what you kind of have to do, right?
Yeah, just stay hungry. Every game is huge in the standings, and like I say, you look at the Western Conference, what is there, maybe 2-3 teams kind of out of it right now, would you say?
Yeah, maybe.
Two or three, maybe.
We won't talk about
that
team in last place.
Yeah, if they're out of it. You look at our schedule February, March, I think we play, it seems like every other day or back-to-back, and you get, say, like a 10-game segment or something, and you do get on a roll, and you just start climbing. And I think the ultimate goal, obviously, is to win the Stanley Cup, but start with winning the division or winning the conference, and I know that maybe shouldn't sound stupid because we're right there right now. It's but that's, I guess, something that you can look forward to or set a goal to.
No, I think expectations are the goal. I mean, that's the whole point.
I will add, like, you also have to go through adversity, and right now you're going through that with, you know, you have Forsberg out, Arvidsson out. You know, I don't know if we don't know. We're not allowed to talk about Ryan Johansson, so we'll just assuming he can't play. You have a full line. The Jofa line is out of the mix. That's everyone else stepping up, right? And is that something you guys talk about in the team? It's because it seemed like it in the third period. You guys came out and played great as a team.
Yeah, no, everybody needs to step up. And, I mean, those three guys, you're not going to be able to replace because they're so important to the team. But just everybody stepping up and kind of trying to chip in a little extra and get things rolling. And it kind of goes back into finding ways to stay motivated and stay on top of your game. It's just every night's a new opportunity to climb the standings with 2 points and to, chip in extra right now because those guys are potentially hurt and, kind of go from there.
Guys, always a pleasure to have you. We really do appreciate you guys coming out, of course, tomorrow night. Pregame at 6, puck drop at 7 against Arizona, then Florida on Saturday. Then you got Tampa Bay, the best team in the league right now as far as points go, coming in next week. And then off you guys go. Like you said, Cody, you got a lot of games and a lot of days coming up. So it's the stretch run. Hal, don't retire. Okay.
No, it's not time of year.
don't retire. Guys, really appreciate you coming out. Cody McLeod, Kyle Turris, a pleasure having you. Hal Gill as well. Smashville, you guys are always great. Thank you guys for coming out. The next one's coming up on January 31st. We'll be right here, of course, at Tenerife on Broadway. So come out and say hello. And, of course, we'll see you guys all tomorrow night, as Crispy would say, at the rink. There you have it.
Bring the passion.
Bring the passion.
Bring the passion.
Thank you guys for hanging out and listening. My name is Brady Gall. This is Smash Show Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Cheers.